Everything Digital Podcast for Black Friday, November 24th, 2006.
Podcasting almost live.
The Everything Digital Podcast. If it's digital, you're going to hear about it. Unless it's Windows.
And it is the Everything Digital Podcast on this Black Friday. I'm Alan Joyce, and I sincerely hope that you are not out at the malls today because it is a mob scene out there. Personally, I would not go anywhere near one despite the great sales because, hey, you can get the same deals online. So unless it's really fun for you to get out there into that mob scene, I really don't see much point in it. All right, so coming up on this Everything Digital podcast, we have Apple's investigation of their own iPod halo effect, and just what the world needs, more iPhone rumors, the console wars comparison of the Sony PS3 and Nintendo Wii, the Library of Congress's review of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, and a Volkswagen Touareg's towing of a Boeing 747 aircraft. But to start the show off for you, here's those five-second news headlines. Microsoft's new Xbox Live video service has been experiencing problems with long and sometimes erroneous downloads, prompting the company to offer refunds to users who encounter problems with their downloads. Electronics manufacturer Sony and mobile phone maker Ericsson have announced an extension to their telecommunications partnership that will provide mobile and broadband TV services. To raise money for the country's space program, a Russian cosmonaut hit a 3-gram golf ball from the International Space Station that is expected to orbit Earth for about 3 days. UK residents will now be able to legally use small FM transmitters for iPods and other similar devices as the ban that prevents their use will be lifted on December 8th. The Mapuche Indian tribe of Chile is attempting to take Microsoft to court over the use of its language in the latest translation of Windows, saying the use of their language without permission is a form of intellectual piracy. And those are the 5-5-second news headlines. There are, as always, links to the full stories in the show notes at everythingdigital.org. Now, on to the Apple news. Got a couple things for you. First of all, Apple investigating its own iPod halo effect. Now, this has been a term that's been used in a variety of ways over the years, but most of them center around the belief that people who buy iPods and have good experiences with them are then going to transfer over into Mac buyers, and that Apple's iPod sales will eventually translate into Mac sales. So Apple has hired a research firm, Advanis, to oversee an online survey of the iTunes Music Store customer base. In addition to questions about music purchases, the survey asked whether users have bought or plan to buy a Mac after using iTunes. If positive results are seen at the survey's conclusion in December, the study could provide some of the first solid evidence of the halo effect's existence. So it's mostly been just speculation up until this point. And interesting enough, Apple itself taking the initiative here and seeing if this halo effect is actually a reality. And just what everyone wants, another iPhone rumor. They've been extremely rampant lately. Probably two or more a day coming in now. This one seems to have a hint of plausibility. I'm not quite sure. Component suppliers in Taiwan and Japan are reported to be preparing two different models of the long-awaited Apple iPhone. One edition would work on the US 3G networks, and the other would be designed for European GSM networks. Estimates put production at about 12 million devices to be ready as early as March 2007. Would have what is pretty much standard in the rumors these days, Wi-Fi, a full keyboard, and support for video playback, as well as iTunes synchronization. There's a pretty well-thought-out analysis of this this whole rumor situation on The Motley Fool. There's a link to that article in the show notes. I do suggest you read it if you're interested in iPhone rumors, which a great deal of the Mac community does seem to be very interested in them, or well, they probably wouldn't be continuing at the rate they are. All right, so on to the general news. That pretty much wraps it up for all the Apple items. We have a console war going on. I'm not sure if you realize it, but the Nintendo Wii system is squaring off against Sony's PlayStation 3. Both have hit stores about the same time, and both are getting both are becoming in very high demand this holiday season. Just to give you a little summary of their features, we've got the Sony PS3 with a 3.2 GHz cell broadband engine CPU, Blu-ray disc drive, USB Ethernet, Wi-Fi, and Bluetooth connectivity, HDMI, that's high-def output with a 1080p resolution, 20GB hard drive or 60GB hard drive with SD memory stick compact flash card slots. Also backwards compatibility with some PS1 and PS2 titles. And of course that price tag is $500 or $600. However, it's so hard to get your hands on one right now that they're going for thousands of dollars on eBay. In the other corner we have the Nintendo Wii. With only a 729 MHz IBM PowerPC CPU, single or double-layer DVD drive, Ethernet, that is with an adapter, USB, Wi-Fi, and Bluetooth connectivity. It puts out a 480p resolution signal, that's about DVD quality, and it has 512 MB of internal memory and an SD card slot, allowing potentially infinite expandable memory. It's backwards compatible with all GameCube games out of the box, as well as with other classic Nintendo titles via the Virtual Console emulation that you can buy off of the Wii Store. It retails at $250, coming in significantly under the even the lower model of the PS3, which is $500. And it is a little bit different as far as what Nintendo was actually going for in a console. Now, we have the PS3 and the Xbox 360, which are very heavy on graphics. They have extremely powerful processors. They have extremely powerful graphics cards, high-definition output, all sorts of incredible graphics-oriented features. And we've got the Nintendo Wii, which doesn't even try to match up to the graphics that are almost becoming standard with the Xbox 360 and the PS3. However, you may have seen that the Wii has a little bit of a different take in that it uses motion sensing in its Wiimote, and there's a link in the show notes if you want to check out, oh, actually there isn't a link, I'll put in a link later, if you want to check out some pictures of the Wiimote and the Wii interface. Basically you've got a remote control, looks almost like a remote control, less like a game console controller, and more like a TV remote. And you can actually wave it around in the air and the console picks up on all the motion and uses that in the games. So you can play something like tennis and actually be swinging the remote around, and the game will pick up on that and follow your motions on screen. Now, I actually had a chance to try out a Wii, and it really is quite amazing. I tried out some of the Wii Sports games, which actually come packaged with the Wii when you buy it. And I tried out Zelda Twilight Princess, which is the game that is pretty much guaranteeing that Wiis sell out all over the country right now, because that game is in very high demand. People want to get their hands on a new Zelda game. The interface is really amazing. Pointing the remote at the TV and seeing the cursor or the sword or the tennis racket follow your motions is really incredible. It's as I said, a very different take on the video game console system. The graphics are not very impressive, but I really don't mind it. They're perfectly acceptable, and it's really more about the gameplay. So it's a matter of whether you're taking gameplay over graphics or graphics over gameplay. So that pretty much sums it up. I don't have any first-hand experience with the PS3, I'm sorry to say. I may have in the near future, but right now the Nintendo Wii is just based on my experience, is definitely a revolution in video game consoles that will be interesting to keep an eye on and see how, in the long term, that new take on the console squares off against the graphics-oriented PS3 and Xbox 360. Okay, so we have a story about the Library of Congress, that is their copyright office. They've completed a review of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, something that act being the subject of much hatred over the internet community, especially with the Electronic Frontier Foundation and various other consumer advocacy groups trying to preserve consumer rights in the digital age. We've got a new revision to the act introduced Wednesday that includes 6 new exemptions. Cell phone users can now legally unlock their phones for use on rival carriers' networks. Film professors can copy clips from DVDs for use as educational materials. Access has been expanded to obsolete and outdated works. Security researchers can now make attempts to crack CD-DRM technologies. The Electronic Frontier Foundation attorney Fred von Lohmann said, quote, "I am very encouraged by the fact that the Copyright Office is willing to recognize exemptions from archivists, cell phone recyclers, and computer security experts. Frankly, I'm surprised and pleased that they were granted." He also said that he was disappointed that, among other proposals, an exemption allowing DVD owners to copy their movies to iPods and other devices was rejected. So I have to say, this is a very interesting move on the part of the Library of Congress Copyright Office, and it's very lenient to the consumer in a lot of ways. Now, as the attorney, Mr. Lohmann from the Electronic Frontier Foundation, said, there is quite a bit of ground to cover in addition to what's already been done in this recent revision, including things like copying DVDs to iPods and, you know, different things that that really are fair use but aren't really getting treated as such by the Copyright Office. And as a final story for the show, a Volkswagen Touareg recently towed a Boeing 747 aircraft. So this Volkswagen Touareg had a 5-liter V10 engine, and this stunt followed the car's recent distinction as Caravan Club Tow Car of the Year. 3 metric tons of ballast were added to the Touareg, causing it to weigh 7.5 tons on its own. And then it was able to successfully tow a 155 metric ton Boeing 747 without encountering any damage or side effects. So obviously this was a pretty nice publicity stunt for Volkswagen, and pretty amazing that the car was able to tow that much weight. And of course, just the fact that it was a 747, the pictures are quite amazing. You can check out, there's a link in the show notes. I believe there's a picture or two there. You can see, it's really interesting to see this relatively small car when compared to the 747, hitched up to its front wheel and actually towing this giant airplane. Really amazing. And congratulations, Volkswagen, on getting that together. Okay, and that will do it for this episode of the Everything Digital Podcast. If you want to send some feedback, you can post comments on the website at everythingdigital.org. You can subscribe to the Everything Digital Podcast if you aren't already at everythingdigital.org/weblog/index.xml. You can email me at alan@everythingdigital.org. Or you can call 206-20-DIGI-9 or 206-203-4449 to leave an audio comment for the show. Other than that, thanks for listening and stay subscribed.